Luke chapter 11. But I want to start, as we look at this chapter, with verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Now, our study didn't start with verse 1, but it did point out, and we've pointed out many times, the scripture doesn't stand alone, does it? It's good to look back. And I like starting here because we start with Jesus praying. Jesus prayed often. He prayed publicly. He prayed privately. And in this case, it seems he was praying with his disciples. He's our example in all things, so why not ask Jesus, as the disciples did, to be our example and to show how to pray? Every single one of us prays, I'm sure. We have those arrow prayers. We have our heartfelt prayers. But I also am pretty sure that every single one of us has needed help in how to pray, in what to pray, and when to pray. We've needed encouragement to pray more. We're all familiar with these next few verses, but I think we also understand why the disciples asked for help, asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. In this very familiar prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Jesus gave specific instruction on coming to the Lord first, knowing and acknowledging and praising God the Father for who he is, for his holiness. He said we should come to prayer submitting ourselves to his will, that we should come with a repentant and a forgiving heart, and that, yes, we are to bring our requests to him. All of that is part of prayer, isn't it? But I never before, I don't think, or I forgot, I never recognized that this parable was just a continuation of his instruction. We always stop at the Lord's Prayer. But that's the problem. We stop. And so, with the foundation of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus continued with verse 5. And he said, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to you because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. There are a few things to notice in this story. First, what did the man need? He needed bread. But it wasn't for himself, was it? No, it was for an unexpected visitor, and his reason for asking was a good one. Next, who did he go to for this bread? He went to a friend. He went to someone he knew, probably knew he would have bread, and figured as a friend he'd be willing to help. Last, we see the friend did not want to get out of bed to get the bread. But he did, eventually. But it wasn't his friendship, was it? What motivated him was the man's persistence. Persistence can be defined as firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. It's the quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something even though it's difficult or opposed by other people. It's perseverance. Now, I can remember reading this parable and thinking it was strange that by bothering his friend enough, by his persistence in knocking at his door at midnight and not letting him go back to sleep, but staying there until he came, He got what he wanted. Anybody else see it that way the first time they ever read it? And I'm thinking, this guy is rude, and he's aggravating, and that's how we're supposed to get what we want. No, I didn't really think that's the way we were. But did you see it that way at first? I mean, you have to stop and look closer, don't you? Because I missed the whole point when I read it the first time. The persistence was not to frustrate his friend into helping. His persistence showed so much more. It showed that his request was not frivolous or unnecessary, but it was something he really needed. It was important to him, and it was important enough for him to stay and keep asking. Remember, too, he wasn't asking for himself, was he? But for his visitor. He had a good reason for asking. And we need to note that persistence is not the same as nagging. Nagging includes complaining. And persistence is not pestering, which is harassing with petty irritations. Persistence is a determined effort to achieve something important. In fact, this man felt it was so important to get his visitor food that he himself was willing to leave his home at midnight, go to his friends, and risk aggravating him to get this bread. Now, after Jesus, after Jesus told the parable, he then clearly stated the meaning, didn't he? The lesson he wanted us to get. Verse 9 says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And there you have it. Prayer. Ask. Seek. Knock. Let's look at these three words. Ask. It means to seek information or to make a request, to put voice to your need or desire. Now, it seems obvious that unless you ask someone for something, they probably don't know you need it, right? But in prayer, when we go to the Lord, we know that he knows what we need. He knows what we're going to say before we even say it. So asking in prayer is a little different. It's voicing your desire, which acknowledges that you are taking it to him. Asking in prayer acknowledges that he is the one who can answer. Asking in prayer opens our heart to the Lord. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." God wants us to come to him and ask, but there's more. James 4:3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Our motive in asking is important, isn't it? So we need to seek God so that our prayers will line up with his desires. So we ask and we seek. Definitions for seek: to go in search of, to look for, to try to discover, to try to acquire or gain, to make an attempt. Do you notice every single one of those definitions requires action from us? Asking is a voice. Seeking is an action. It takes effort. So, we ask, pardon me, and then we seek. We seek the Lord. It takes time. It takes effort. And by seeking, we get to the door. But we can't stop there, can we? We have to knock. Now, I looked up the definition of knock, and you can imagine what the definition is. It means knock. Hit something, make, you know. But the point here is that it is possible for us to make a request, to seek the Lord, and yet not enter in. When he brings us to that place, do we make the extra effort to knock? Because you know, sometimes what it takes to knock is humbling. It's a submission, isn't it? It's letting go. We have to knock on that door to enter into his very presence for our heart to come in line with him in prayer. It takes faith to knock. More faith than even our asking or our seeking. As we read on in Luke 11, we see how much our Father in heaven wants to answer our requests. Verse 11 says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And our study took us to the parallel verse in Matthew 7:11 that says, instead, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? I want to look at both of those because certainly God gives us good things and only good things. But in Luke, it specifically said the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit is like a very good thing, right? But I also think we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is key in our prayers. We use this verse often to give confidence when we talk to somebody about asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that God would only give us a good thing. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he will certainly give it to you. And I'm not going to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit because we're talking about prayer. But you can't separate them completely because it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us what we need to pray the way Jesus is telling us to pray. It is by the Holy Spirit that we enter in. It is the Holy Spirit who can answer so many of our prayers, and he guides us and he leads us and he teaches us. So I think it's important for us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us in our prayers. Remember the last verse in Ephesians when we learned about the armor of God. The last verse, Ephesians 6:18 says, this is the last part of the armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to pray in the Spirit. So many of our requests are already answered when we're walking in the Spirit. But it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And the wording in Matthew about good things is also good because when we come to the Lord in prayer, we have to trust that his answer is the good thing. It is the best thing. And we have another parable to consider here. Let's read from Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there's in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she will weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We have another example of someone who needed to persist in her request until she got her answer. And this story isn't just about justice, is it? No, it's about, as it says in verse 1, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And as it says in verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You see, both of these parables are about prayer. But in this one, it reminds us that faith is a crucial part of prayer also, isn't it? In these stories, we can see that we're represented by the man and by the woman who have the need. But we have to be careful not to put the characteristics of the friend and the judge on God. When we come to the Lord in prayer, he isn't tired or lazy about answering us like the friend, is he? No. He doesn't see our request as an inconvenience either. And the judge, he didn't really care about this woman. And yet she got her answer, but God loves us. We're the apple of his eye. So how much more he wants to answer. What we can learn from the persistence is by looking at the heart of the one who's requesting, it shows that that request is important. And faith comes in because we're bringing it to the Lord, trusting that he is the one who can answer. Let's look at a few scriptures about faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Isn't our answer in prayer something we're hoping for? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you see how important faith is there? James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we come to the Lord, do we come in faith? Something to consider, isn't it? As we persist in our prayers, we have to trust that he will answer. And we only have that faith when we know who God is. In our study, one of the questions asked us, what things might make us lose heart or stop being persistent? And in the verse in James, we found one, didn't we? Doubt. Doubt, a lack of faith, affects our prayers. Without faith, we don't really believe God will answer, so we're likely to lose heart quickly. Without faith, we might ask. We might even seek by looking in the Word or setting time aside for prayer, but we won't knock on the door. We won't enter into his presence. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come boldly only by faith. And remember the verse we just read about faith in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Why pray if you don't think he's going to answer? You won't persist, I guarantee it. So, the more we know of God, the more we know who he is, his goodness, his faithfulness, his love, the more faith we have in our prayers, don't you think? He's given us these pictures to show even men will answer requests. But then he went on to show how much more the Father loving us will answer our requests. Knowing this should give us all we need to come to him in faith and persistence with our requests. What else holds us back? Why are we not always persistent in our prayers? Well, is what we're asking important to us? Because sometimes it's important when we start, but we let other things take precedence and we stop. When it's personal, we sure do persevere then, don't we? When it's our family or our kids, we're much more likely to be persevering. In the midst of a trial, our prayers are fervent, and we pray to the end sometimes. But what about in the good times? I love that Beck chose that song. You know, in the darkness, do we, in the sunshine? We have both kinds of trials in our life. We have the trials that are dark, but we also don't recognize it, but the trial of abundance. God's watching us, and those are the times when we maybe have the hardest time being persistent because we forget the importance of the things that God's heart is crying out to us for. We forget about others. We forget. We let apathy come in when we're comfortable. And persistence and apathy don't go along together, do they? We looked up four verses in our study that also gave us conditions for answered prayer. Obedience, submission to his will, asking in the name of Jesus. All of these show us a heart that's submitted to the Lord's heart, don't they? And so it's important, in order to be persistent, that we are in line with God. We need to not let the cares of the world interfere with our prayer time. Now, we've talked a lot about persistence. Is there ever a time to stop? Is there a time when our persistence becomes nagging or pestering? Yes, there is. Remember Paul? Paul persisted in his prayer, requesting that the thorn in his flesh be taken away, but it was not. 2 Corinthians 12:7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me," he got his answer, didn't he? "The Lord said to him, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" God answered, and he even told Paul why. His answer was no. It was the best thing for him. It was the good thing for Paul. And so Paul stopped persisting in prayer for this one thing, and he began resting in God's grace. When we seek the Lord in prayer, we have to have a heart that's ready to hear his answer. We know what we want most often, but we need to know that his answer is always what's best. And we really need to not stop that persistence until we hear his answer. But then we need to accept and trust. The lesson that we had this week was just a great encouragement to every one of us to pray. To pray seriously, persistently, diligently. So we know what we're supposed to do. We even have instruction on how to do it. But how? If we have a struggle in our prayer life, how do we change that? How do we step more into this kind of prayer? Because it is a step at a time, isn't it? You know what we do? We ask. Even as the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray. We ask the Holy Spirit to put in our heart the desire to pray. We can even ask for the faith to pray, because our God is so good, He will give us all we need to do what He asks us to do. So we ask for help. You know, there are so many things pulling us away from prayer. We have to remember that persistence, remember the definition said to do something even though it's difficult? We have to persevere to pray before we persevere in prayer. There's so many things that pull us away. And don't forget, there is an enemy that knows the power of prayer. And he loves to distract us. So if we need help in prayer, we ask for help, and then we seek. We seek God for his desires. We seek God to change our hearts so that we are in line with him in our prayers. And then, as he leads us there, we knock. We make sure that we set aside time so that we can enter in to his presence, that we can sit at his feet and listen. It's the first time I've said that word in this whole teaching, isn't it? We won't hear an answer if we don't listen. We often don't listen. And then we need to submit our prayers to the Lord. Jesus, again, was our example there. And his prayer in the garden, when his final word was, "Thy will be done." Let's pray. Lord, we know that your lesson here for us is that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Lord, some of us need more help than others in our prayer life. We come to you today so thankful for your word that reminds us and teaches us, encourages us, challenges us, convicts us in this area. We come to you today and we do ask that you would help us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in prayer. Lord, let us not leave this week and forget that word persistence and let other things come in and crowd out our prayer times. Lord, change our hearts that we would desire what you desire, that our heart would break for what your heart breaks for, and then those things would be important to us, that we would persist in prayer. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.